Happy Friday to each and every one of you. Thank you, all of you who are supporting Into the Word financially. We really need that assistance and appreciate it very much. If there's anyone that would like to help out in that area, it's easy enough to do. Just write down the contact information you'll hear at the end of today's program. Then you can send your one-time or ongoing gift of any amount to that address, and it'll be used for the radio broadcast fees. Fridays, I try to always take the time to encourage you to be part of a home congregation. Everybody needs to have a place where they go and worship and fellowship and study and serve and praise and pray and do all the things that are part of church life as part of a family. We need that. We need to be encouraging and to be encouraged to do love and good deeds. And that's what happens in Bible-believing, Bible-living churches. So if you don't have a place, you need to find one, quick. If you are actively looking right now and you're within driving distance of the Elkhart East building, please come, check us out, introduce yourself as one of our radio Bible students, and maybe you'll find that is your church home. I want you to open to the book of Numbers today. We've been spending a lot of time in the book of Exodus, but now that we are talking about the setting up of the tabernacle, we're starting to bring in some of the other books written by Moses because they have information about the setting up of the worship site. And so Numbers chapter number 7, it starts out at the very beginning of the chapter telling us that this process of dedicating the tabernacle started on the day that Moses set the tabernacle up and anointed it. And we know that that happened on the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus. So basically the middle of the month of April of 1455 for our purposes. The first thing that happens on this day with this record is that the leadership of the 12 tribes comes together and donates some wagons and some oxen to pull those wagons to the service of the Levites, who are going to be the support personnel for the tabernacle. They need to carry the components of the tabernacle from place to place once that starts becoming a thing. They need carts to do that. They need wagons to carry the bulk of that material. The only exception would be the things with carrying poles, the things that are part of the, we call it furniture, in the tabernacle shrine building itself. The Kohathite tribe will be carrying that on their shoulders because that's their responsibility. The next thing that we talked about right before we closed up is found here in Numbers chapter 7, verse number 12. And that is that the leader of each of these 12 tribes is tasked with giving a special donation to the tabernacle and to the worship service on successive days of the dedication ceremony for the tabernacle. So there will be 12 full days of dedication for the tabernacle as a whole. Now there will be 7 days of dedication with an 8th climactic day for the altar. And we'll get back to that in a little bit. But as I told you, each of the 12 tribes' leader brings exactly the same offering on their special day. And the first leader is the heir of the promises, the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that will be Judah's tribe. Because, remember, the first three sons of birth order for Jacob, disgraced themselves, shamed their father. And so they lost the right to receive the inheritance and the birthright of a firstborn. And so that falls on the Judah tribe now. So that's why the Judah tribe leader makes the first offering. Verse 12 says, "He who offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab of the tribe of Judah." And as I told you as we were closing up, this is the ancestor of David. This is the ancestor of Jesus through Mary, his birth mother. And you will find his name in the genealogy of Mary there in Luke chapter 3. How old this guy is? I am guessing that he is an older gentleman because he is the head of the Judah tribe. So more than likely, he is among the oldest men inside that tribe. Verse 13, here is the offering, which just keep it, hold it in your head as we proceed here, because it's the exact thing, exact same offering for all 12 tribes, for all 12 days. His offering was one silver plate, whose weight was 130 shekels. Don't worry too much about how much that weighs. Basically, this is a plate that things will be put on in the tabernacle for different services. One silver basin of 70 shekels. And you can think of a basin as needing to have curved sides because it's going to hold something liquid, perhaps blood. According to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering. So the plate and the bowl at this juncture in their usage have grain offerings in them. Then, verse 14, one golden dish of 10 shekels weight that's full of incense. And then, beyond the implements that will then be used from there on in temple service or tabernacle service, we have animals that will be immediately used for sacrificial purposes. Verse 15, one bull from the herd, one ram, one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings. A peace offering is something given not because of a sin infringement, but because of a desire to have relationship. It's a free will offering, if you will. Two oxen, five rams, five male goats, five male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Amminadab. And that same offering will be repeated 11 more times, and we'll come back to that later. The next thing that I need us to go to is chapter number 8 of Numbers, and we need to talk about the dedication of the Levitical tribe. We know that on the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus, that Aaron and his sons were set aside as priests. And from here on out, all priests will be related to Aaron. But Aaron is going to be doing the sacrificing of the animals and burning up their flesh on the sacrificial altar. He will be the one that will be trimming the lamps and offering the incense twice a day. And so the priesthood is all about the hands-on religious ceremonies. But they really need some support personnel to help them with that. And so that's going to be the Levite tribe. And you might remember that the Levite tribe was given this responsibility this reward, because on the day of the golden calf incident, when Moses called, who's on he who is aside here? Who's going to help put down this rebellion, this crazy partying that's going on in a pagan fashion? Because even after Moses had arrived back on the scene, the partying was still going on. And a whole bunch of Levites came forward and volunteered their services. And they were rewarded by God with this being made into the support personnel for the tabernacle. So, Numbers chapter 8, starting at verse number 5, he who is spoke to Moses and said, take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Sprinkle the water of purification upon them, which we don't know about the water purification. That'll come up later, the formula for it. Let them go with a razor over all their body and wash their clothes and clean themselves. So in order to prepare for this day of dedication, they have to shave all the hair off of their bodies. They have to completely wash their bodies. And they have to be sprinkled with this special formula of water. And then, verse 8, let them take a bull from the herd and its grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, and you shall take another bull from the herd for a sin offering, and you shall bring the Levites in mass, basically, before the tent of meeting and assemble the whole congregation of the people of Israel. And when you bring the Levites before he who is, the people of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. So can you picture this? We've got many hundreds, actually a few thousand of these Levites that are going to be dedicated, not just simply by Moses, but by the people themselves. They're going to ordain them. The people are going to reach out and touch them to say, these guys are going to be doing things for me. When you bring them before he who is, the people shall lay their hands on the Levites, and then Aaron shall offer the Levites before he who is as a wave offering from the people, that they may do the service of he who is. Now, a wave offering later will get its name for the fact that the piece of meat that is being used, or the bowl of grain that's being used for this, is lifted up or it's waved side to side in front of God's presence to basically say, here you go, God, this is for this purpose. Well, you can't wave, you know, several thousand guys, full-grown men, before God, but they are serving the same purpose, where basically the people are saying, here they are, God. Aaron is saying, here they are, God. These guys are here for this. And then, verse number 12, then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bulls, and you shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering to he who is, to make atonement for the Levites. So they've got to get cleaned up, just like Aaron and his sons as priests. They actually had a sacrifice made on their behalf. So here are the Levites having a sacrifice made on their behalf. Verse 13, and you shall set aside the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and shall offer them as a wave offering to he who is. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the people of Israel. The Levites shall be mine. After that, the Levites shall go in to serve at the tent of meeting when you have cleansed them and offered them as a wave offering. For they are wholly, that is completely, given to me from among the people of Israel, instead of all who were all who opened the womb, the firstborn of all the people of Israel, I will take them for myself. Now this gets back to what happened at the Exodus. You remember that the Passover gets its name from the fact that God passed over in his judgment all of the houses that had been marked by the blood of the Passover lamb. And the firstborn humans, firstborn men, the firstborn animals in those houses were spared the judgment of the 10th plague. And God had said afterwards, all of the firstborn now belong to me. You have to give them to me. And so God is now making a tweak to that. He says, instead of your firstborn sons having to serve in the tabernacle as support personnel, I am going to let the entire Levi tribe be a substitute for them in that purpose. They are going to be my serving people instead of your firstborns. Verse 17, for all the firstborn among the people of Israel are mine, both of man and of beast. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn, I lost my spot. Let me get back there. From all the firstborn among the people of Israel are mine, both of men and beast. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated them for myself. That is, I made them holy. I set them aside for myself. And I've taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the people for Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people of Israel to do the service for the people of Israel at the tent of meeting and to make atonement for the people of Israel, that there may be no plague among the people of Israel when the people of Israel come near the sanctuary. So effectively, the Levitical tribe are gifted to Aaron and his priests as support personnel, because you can't do everything as a priest. It's interesting. Those of you that have been long-term students of mine, you know I was in the Air Force. And it's interesting that some people, the moment I mention that, they say, well, what type of plane did you fly? And it's like, not everybody in the Air Force flies aircraft. In fact, a very small portion of the military members of the Air Force fly aircraft. The vast majority of people are in support of that air mission. But you have to have that. The first time I was in, I worked in accounting and finance. I paid people to move around to do the mission of the Air Force. The second time I was in, I was a med tech. And so I went and helped take care of people that were either injured in military service or got sick in military service. So I was part of the support personnel. And we've got mechanics that keep the things flying. And same thing in all the other armed services as well. The vast majority of them are not in the active part of the mission of that particular military service. They're support personnel. But the job won't get done without support personnel. Same thing in the church. The preacher is up front and does a lot of stuff and gets a lot of attention because of that. But you know what? I can't do any of that without tons of people behind me taking care of things that I don't need to worry about, like keeping the lights on or keeping the lawn mowed or making sure that the communion's ready every week or the music's taken care of or making sure that people are checked up on as visitors or as people that are missing from the service, because, you know, the shepherds of the congregation do a lot of that stuff as well. And so here is the same situation. The priest's main responsibility is to carry out the sacrifices on behalf of the people and to intercede for them with God and to bring God's word back to those people. That's going to be the priestly responsibility. They don't need to worry about where's the wood coming from? Where's the oil coming from? Where are the ashes going to? Who's taking care of the sacrificial animals before they're butchered? Who's taking care of all the stuff that's left over after the animals have been kept in pens for a while waiting to be turned into sacrifices? Who's taking care of all of the skin of these animals after they've been sacrificed? Because that needs to be tanned and turned into leather and things like that. So the Levites are taking care of all that logistical support stuff. Verse number 20. Thus did Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel to the Levites, according to all that he who has commanded Moses concerning the Levites, the people of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as a wave offering before he who is, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that, the Levites went in to do their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as he who is had commanded them, Moses concerning, as Moses had been commanded by God concerning the Levites. So they did to them. A little bit more detail. Verse 23, and he who is spoke to Moses, saying, this applies to the Levites from 25 years old and upward. They shall come to do the duty of the service of the tent of meeting. So the Levites are going to be in active hands-on service starting at age 25. Now, they'll probably start doing their training and apprenticeships before that, because adulthood for Israel at this time starts at the 20th birthday. Verse 25, and from the age of 50 years, they shall withdraw from the duty of the service and serve no more. Now, that doesn't mean they just retire and disappear from the scene after 25 years. That's where they retire from hands-on activity. They turn into trainers and supervisors. Verse 26, they minister to their brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard, but they shall do no service, and thus shall you do to the Levites in assigning their duties. So some of these retired priests might even do security duty in their later years, rather than carrying wood or carrying ashes or dragging, you know, the different animals around from place to place in order to be part of the sacrificial system. We've got one other place I wanted to go to in relationship to these Levites being dedicated to service, and that's Numbers chapter 3, starting at verse number 5. He who is spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister to him. They shall keep guard over him and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting as they minister at the tabernacle. They shall guard all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and keep guard over the people of Israel as they minister at the tabernacle. One of the responsibilities of the Levites is security service. And this becomes much more pronounced, I think, in later years. For example, in the first century of the Christian era, when Herod the Great, and he got that name because he was such a big builder of big things, when he massively increased the size of the Temple Mount to make room for more worshipers, he pretty much guaranteed that 200,000 people a day could come up onto the Temple Mount and in those courts and mill around as part of the worship of He Who Is. And when you've got that many people together, you've got to have a pretty serious security service in order to keep things moving and to make people behave themselves when they're not part of the group that is there to worship, but rather to fleece the flock or pickpocket or whatever. And so there was a massive security service in the first century temple. There were security personnel at all the different gates where people were coming in. And so here is kind of the beginning of that, is that the Levites, at least many of them, were responsible for keeping things peaceful. And to also make sure no one ran off with things that were dedicated specifically to worship. Verse number 9, "You shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They're wholly given to him from among the people of Israel. You shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall guard their priesthood. But if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death." That would be another one of the responsibilities of these security personnel, is to protect the integrity of the worship site from those that are coming to mock it or disrupt it or to maybe even bring their gods and goddesses into it. And these guys will take care of that. Verse 11, "And he who is spoke to Moses, saying, Behold, I've taken the Levites from among the people of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the people of Israel. The Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. And on the day that I struck out the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for my own all the firstborn of Israel, both of man and beast. They shall be mine. I am he who is." And we already heard that before. And so a little reminder here that the Levitical tribe represents what the firstborn would have been set aside for if God had not decided he'd rather keep that in one genetic group. Well, we've run out of time again, so mark your place in Scripture in the book of Numbers, chapter 7, and we'll get back into the Word the next time we have opportunity.